Kathy Lee and Company.
Mr. Carl Reiner. Oh, you tell such funny stories in this book about, but I love the George Burns one about you're afraid of, you know, what happens to you, a man when he's older and he can no longer perform sexually. Dare we talk about that one? I love this story.
It's your podcast. Well, I said, George, you know, there's one thing I want to ask you. I'm 60. He was like 80 then. I said, I always see pictures of you with girls on your arms. I just want to know what I have to look forward to sexually when I'm 80 and 85 and 90. And he says, you ever try to put an oyster in a slot machine?
Kathy Lee and Company.
Available now.
At podcastone.com. That's podcastone.com.
The following program is a PodcastOne.com production.
Welcome to Ron Paul, the weekly podcast. I'm Charles Goyette. We've seen some pretty cynical manipulations of things on Capitol Hill over the years. Clocks that are stopped and calendar pages turned back. Now, Majority Leader Harry Reid has forced through a sudden change in Senate rules that have been in place for years. A rules change that makes it harder for the minority party in the Senate to block executive branch and judicial appointments. So now a simple majority can approve presidential nominees. It no doubt means the obvious, in this case more status judges, but as usual, there may be more to the move than meets the eye, and we'll find out about the story behind the story with Ron Paul right after this.
How would you like to do something that's good for you and good for America? Well, you can, just by shopping like you normally do. You see, just about everybody uses Amazon these days, because it's so easy. But from now on, when you're going to shop on Amazon, go to the PodcastOne.com Ron Paul page and click on the Amazon link there. When you do, a portion of whatever you buy gets kicked back to the Ron Paul Show to help keep the podcast coming and keep us from having to run tons and tons of ads. So we can be selective and focus on getting you Ron's message. So do it. Go to PodcastOne.com, click on the Ron Paul page, and click on Amazon. The next time you're going to buy something, use that link. You'll be helping yourself because you're buying something you want, and helping America because you're helping keep Ron Paul's messages coming. And there's no extra costs involved. You pay the same price, it's the same Amazon. If you want to help out even more, tell your friends to do the same thing. Go to PodcastOne.com, click on Ron Paul, then click on the Amazon link. You'll be glad you did.
Well, it seems that congressional rules depend not on the principles involved, but on who is in power. When the Democrats were the minority power in the Senate, they supported the 60-vote rule to confirm the nominees of the Republican president. And Harry Reid passionately objected to the so-called nuclear option, a change in that rule, but now they're the majority. And they've changed the rule that they used to support. What is going on?
One thing for sure, it's not principle. I think money and power is the big issue, because basically both of the parties agree on the big issues like the Federal Reserve and increasing the debt and war and NSA spying on the people. So that's not the issue. But there is a real fight over power and whose buddies get the bailouts and all these things. But they're totally hypocritical. Like you point out, Reid was absolutely opposed to this when they were in the minority. But now they're all for it because they're in the majority. Of course, this is just political games. But they're talking about the judges, and there's a bunch of them. But if you look, if you ask the American people who they are, if you ask me who they are, I can't name all the judges and what's going on there. It's just a basic principle. But I do know there is another special appointment coming up, and they've gotten a little bit worried about it, and that's Yellen to the Federal Reserve Board, as chairwoman. And it may well be that might be the biggest motivation, because they don't want an embarrassment there. If they only get 55 votes and they need 60, she wouldn't be confirmed. But if they can make it a majority vote, then they can get her in and it'll pass and everybody's going to be happy. Now, they haven't stated that, and there hasn't been much talk about it, but I can't help but think that is a significant part about what is going on right now. Of course, the politicians, especially Reid and others, argue, well, you know, the Congress is deadlocked, nothing gets done, and it's all the Republicans' fault. And then they spout these statistics to show that, you know, indeed, you know, when Republicans were in the minority, they did use the filibuster quite a lot. But that also coincided with the impasse of the whole government. That is, the bankruptcy became more apparent. when there was plenty of money and nobody was worrying about the credibility of our dollar, everybody got what they wanted. Now they don't, and that's why there's a real fight going on. It has nothing to do with Republicans being worse than the Democrats or vice versa. It has to do with one issue that they're failing to look at, and that is the impasse, the stalemates up there in Washington, is because the world's starting to warn us. You know, the bankruptcy's here. We may reject the dollar. There are other plans. Our military power is not what it used to be, and our credibility around the world is not what it used to be. And that, I think, is where the real problem is. And in many ways, this is a distraction, the way I see it.
In some ways, I wonder if this development isn't a symptom of a larger malady with the governing classes. They seem to have no real sense of future consequences. We talk all the time about how they spend without regard for any future reckoning. And now the majority Democrats have changed the rule without regard to the prospect that they themselves one day will be a minority party again under their new rule.
Yeah, they'll worry about that later on. But, you know, when they had the big fight over the close down of the government and the way it was opened up, you know, it was pretty amazing how they came together on that. Republicans and Democrats passed a bill which essentially has removed the need for Congress to vote on a debt increase in the future. That might be the long-term result of all that. And leadership were, you know, on both sides were happy about this. But, you know, I don't think they really think about the importance of the filibuster. It's been around for a long time. It's been assumed the rules, you know, got fuzzy at times. But basically, they knew that in the Senate, there was a little extra protection for the minority, where the dictator of the majority couldn't be so easily gained. And that's one thing that they have forgotten. And yet, you know, our founders were adamant about not having a democracy. They didn't like the term. It's not in the Constitution, but they wanted a Republican form of government. And we use that term, not the Republican Party form of government. We're talking about a Republican form of government where minorities are protected. States have certain privileges and responsibilities. There was a 17th Amendment, which undermined a lot of that on the way we appointed our senators. We had an electoral college, which was different. We had small states having two senators just like big states. That was all designed to protect the minority. So right now, since this has gone through, and even if they reverse this after they get their judges passed, when Republicans take control, and which they will eventually, and maybe even, you know, next year, they're going to reverse it. Now they have a clear sailing politically to change the rules again. So that that has been probably the permanent thing as well. The recent thing about giving up the responsibility and in trying to keep the national debt from going up. So some of these significant changes are occurring, but I still believe this is just compensation for an inept government that went way beyond the original intent, and now we can't afford it, and nobody's willing to cut back. So they're just angling to try to temporarily take care of things and worry about the bigger problems tomorrow or the next day. But that's what I'm afraid of. I think those bigger problems aren't too far away.
Well, it's hard for an outsider to know just how much the Capitol Hill's famed collegiality ever really existed. But it does seem to us, to me on the outside in any event, that the fight over power and actually dwindling resources has become much more sharp. Is that true?
Oh, absolutely. I think that's really where the basic problem is. I think they know it. They admit it. And they both, you know, want to ignore the fact. But you know, they could get together and cut something, you know, if that is the problem. But, you know, you say, well, that means the Democrats are at fault because they're the ones who really don't want to cut. But I'm not so sure that is true, especially since the Republicans agreed to this settlement on raising the national debt. And there aren't very many Republicans who are going to say, you know, what we need to do is we need to cut back on some of this militarism, you know, around the world. That's not about to happen. So I think that it's a political gamesmanship right now, and the inability to understand that our function, our role for our government is way out of proportion to what our Constitution permits us to have.
So does the Senate rules change have any effect on the ability of a senator to put a hold on a nomination like Yellen's? Is that gone with the wind now?
Well, I really believe it probably eliminates it. There was a little bit of question even before, but I think it's very, very clear now that you can't put a hold on it, and a majority vote will get her confirmed. And like I said, I think this might have been one of the major reasons, even though it's not been said, that this filibuster rule was changed, because they were afraid that she could go down. Because she's getting more resistance for the appointment than she did early on. Everybody thought it was just going to be a shoe-in. But fortunately, there are some Republicans asking about audit the Fed, and some people who are finally waking up and saying maybe this QE business is getting too aggressive. I was kidding the other day on an interview where they asked what she would be doing with QE, and I said, well, you know, we're up to QE3. I think when she comes in, there's going to be QEY, and it's going to continue forever.
By the way, the Wall Street Journal editorial on the Senate rules change says, on the plus side, there may be the plus that they have now opened the door in the Senate to ending Obamacare with only 51 votes.
Well, that is interesting, but that, again, I think is a mixed blessing, because on a short run, we might say, well, that's good. We can end a bad thing, you know, by a majority vote rather than a supermajority of 60. But then again, if you're thinking about the big picture of what a republic is versus a democracy, you want to protect the minority. You don't want, to concede this, because it would be more often used to do wrong and ill than it would be to do the good things. How often do we recall when they actually repealed anything? I think even at 51% now, if the Republicans get 51 or 52% next year and they can do it by majority vote, I don't think the odds are all that great that all of a sudden there's going to be a vote and they're going to be doing what they've been yelling about for the last 2 years. They're going to modify it and they're going to play political game, but they're just not going to wipe that whole thing off the books. That would be my estimation, because they're going to pick and choose and say they can run the computer system better and have maybe a little bit more options for getting out of it. But I think the whole thrust of this of massively increasing the number of people that will be under government medicine, I think, regardless. And that's the reason I would stick to the principle that you want to protect the minority against intrusive government. So therefore, I think the principle of the filibuster is a good one.
Well said, and thank you, Dr. Paul, for another great conversation and podcast. Ron Paul, the weekly podcast. I'm Charles Goyette.
This concludes another PodcastOne.com program.